We're looking at Colossians chapter number 4, and as we continue on this book, we're about done as we're trying to study through this, and one might look at this passage and say, well, there doesn't seem to be a lot there, but I trust the Lord will give us a few things before we leave tonight. We're looking at chapter 4, verse 10, and these are the greetings from Paul's friends as he's there ministering with him, their fellow prisoners, but then also fellow laborers. The Bible says, verse number 10, that Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you've received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And we'll go into that in just a little bit. That's John Mark. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, he was a Jew. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and then that are in Laodicea, and then in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So we'll heard some of those names. We'll look at them into a little bit more. But Demas, you remember him. We'll get into him just a little bit. Luke, of course, the gospel writer and different things. And I've broken it out tonight into two areas. The variety of those are mentioned because I'm greatly encouraged by who's mentioned and then just some of their activities. And we'll get right into it. Trust the Lord will help us as we go. Father, be with us now as this time we come to your word. I pray that you would let it minister to us. Dear Lord, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. So, Lord, even in these greetings and the closings, Lord, there are still things that we can mine out of them. And I pray that you'd let us do just that tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think about this. The Bible is such an interesting, unique, miraculous book, of course. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Bible says in 2 Timothy. Yet we see that in the midst of these inspired words, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. We see in these inspired words that there are personal aspects that Paul is used of God to say, tell them that so-and-so said hi, and tell them these folks are laboring for them. And I'm just always amazed. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, it just means I'm amazed. I don't know what else it means, except I don't have to be able to pull it all together. There's a lot of personality in these books, but we know that they're all from God as well. So I want to dive into it on the first point, and that's the variety of those mentioned. We first of all see in verse number 10, a prisoner. My fellow prisoner, he says hello. He tells you that he wants to say hello to those folks. He says greetings. He saluteth you. This is no marvel because Paul's a prisoner. He's probably found some other people there that are prisoners and love the Lord. And it's amazing nowadays if you were to look for a pastor, you'd probably never consider anybody who had a prison record. But Paul would have been excluded from most pulpit searches because of his past. But God used him in a special way. And we see that he's got some other folks that are there locked up with him, that they're prisoners. And so the variety, it goes not only that, but in verse number 11, we see some Jewish believers. These word Jesus here would have been the same as Joshua, Justice, who are of the circumcision. We see that this fella, he was indeed a Jew. Of course, the Bible says of the circumcision, but also his name would have indicated that he was such. And so these are just some of the other people that we see in verse number 10. We looked over Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. This would be none other than John Mark. And we're going to do a little bit of a Bible study. Remember, John Mark was the one that Paul said, I don't want him no more. And so let's look back real briefly at Acts chapter 12. Just hold your place there in Colossians, but Acts chapter 12. And you say, why does this matter? Well, it matters because God's looking for folks to use. And so we see in Acts chapter 12, verse number 12, that when he had considered this thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, and at the end of the verse, praying. So we see this is the mention that we give of Mark, John Mark, that he is at his mom's house in a prayer meeting. Maybe that's where he surrendered to go do something for the Lord at that prayer meeting. I don't know. They're praying together for God's work to be done. I don't know what happens there, but he's mentioned here. Look over just a little bit, chapter 13, or chapter 12, rather, verse number 25. And Paul and Barnabas returned from Jerusalem. These fellows came back. We always think Paul and Silas. Well, before that dynamic duo, it was Paul. It was Barnabas and Saul. They returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So the same one that was at a prayer meeting in his mom's house. Now he's going to go off on a ministry trip with Barnabas and with Saul. But it doesn't end there. He continues on with the ministry trip. Look in chapter 13, verse number 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them to return to Jerusalem. So he goes back. He turns back. Verse number 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came into Antioch in Pisidia and went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law, the reading of the law and the prophets and the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if ye have here word of exhortation for the people, say on." I'm going to skip forward just a little bit here. Look on down as you make your way through there, a lot longer, actually, down to verse, see, you get my notes here, verse number 37, chapter 15. Sorry, over a chapter, verse number 37. Same person, just progressing through at a prayer meeting in his mom's house. Paul and Barnabas says, let's take him with us. Now, verse number 37, Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, same guy back there. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them. That's back in that passage in chapter 12 there. He departed from them with Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And then the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder. In case you feel bad, sometimes you get antsy about people. You have a little contention. Well, the Apostle Paul was as well. He says the contention was so sharp that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So I just bring you back through there. That one little part where it says Mark there, that's John Mark, and he goes through the ministry, and he is going to be eventually, Paul's going to say, bring him because he's profitable to me. What do you say that for? Well, because it's never too late for any of us. Even if the great apostle Paul says, leave the boy home, I don't want him here anymore. Later he's going to say, bring him on. He's profitable to have along the way. So we're moving back on. Jewish believers are one of the variety. And verse number 12, we see the Colossians. Of course, it's written to Colossians, to the Colossian people. But now there's some people that are with him that are also that. Epaphras, who's one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. He's one of you. History would say that he was the pastor of the church there in Colossae, but he's not there at that particular point. It says at the end there of verse number 13, he says that he's got a great zeal for you and them also that are in Laodicea and Hierapolis, and those cities were close together, 6 to 10 miles apart, the historians would say, if you look on the map. And so these were supposed to be read by the people of Colossae, but also these other churches. And so I just see the variety here. And then verse number 14 tells that Luke, the beloved physician, he's the one that God used to write the gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And so we see that Luke is there in there. And I also see, though, in verse number 14 at the end, and then also Demas is there with him, and he greets him. Can I just give you a little progression of Demas? Look, if you will, again, hold your place, but Philemon's the little book before Hebrews. So if you find Hebrews, it's fairly large. It's left of Revelation and James, and although go one more left after you find Hebrews. As you find your place in Philemon, we're going to see that Demas is mentioned here, but we're going to see his unfortunate progression. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, and then he just puts them all in the same group, my fellow laborers. So Paul writing here and telling them that he's talking about, you remember the slave Onesimus that we talked about last week or whenever it was. Well, just in passing, he says, Demas here, along with these other guys, he's my fellow helper. But look in where we see him in chapter 4 of our text, verse number 14, it's just plain old Demas. He's not a fellow helper anymore. He says, well, there he is, Demas. She said, well, does that really matter? I don't know, but I'm just telling you how it was listed. He says he's my fellow helper, and then he's just plain old Demas. And then I want you to look one more place in 2 Timothy. All of the Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, they go to Thessalonians, then Timothy's are after that. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. It's just interesting if you feel like, why are you taking so much time here on this? I just think about the progression. He's my fellow laborer. Then he's just mentioned in Colossians. And then 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans and Galatia, Titus and Dalmatia. You say, why would that matter? I don't know, except it's just interesting that the Lord puts Demas in there as if he's giving everybody he can a chance, because God knows everything. He knows that he's going to be deserting, or he's going to forsake the Apostle Paul. And it goes deeper than that. Not only the Apostle Paul, but I think about why in the world would the Lord put all of the effort into Judas. Jesus knew what Judas was going. God knew what Judas was going to do. He knew that the way it was going to be. He tells that in Scripture. Of course, we know because he was God. But why would he do that? I don't know, except to say for history and for all of eternity, we know that God wants to work on the hearts of people. And even though he knows that Demas is going to eventually forsake him, God chooses to, Paul puts him in this little letter. So we see a future defector there. I wanted to get through that so I can get to point number two, and then we'll get done and go home tonight. I want you to see the activities of those that are mentioned. Back up in verse number 11, we'll just come back down through the passage just like we went through that time. We see that Jesus, who's called Justice, who are the circumcision, they're the Jewish people that are here with me. They're my fellow workers under the kingdom of God. This Jewish believer was working for God, working for these people as well. You see that in the next verse where he's praying, but we see he was working for them. And I think about when God allows people to describe the folks that your church, this church, my church, the one I grew up in, your church where you grew up in, now here where you serve and where you love the Lord and get to come together. What would people say about me? I love it if they'd say what they said about him, that he's working for the kingdom. He's doing something for the Lord's sake. He's a fellow worker under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. I've said it many times. Wouldn't you have loved to have been one of those ones that got to help Paul along the way? Man, that'd be exciting. I'd love to be one of these guys, except for Demas. I'd love to be the ones mentioned. But even if I wasn't mentioned, it'd be a wonderful thing to see and grow his ministry. Well, you know, we have that same opportunity here. There's missionaries that come through. There's evangelists that come through. There's good servants of the Lord that are doing something for the Lord's glory. We may not. We won't ever get our name in the Scriptures because those are closed, but we can still help God's servants as they come through here. And as Larry mentioned, as we're having those testimony times, I love it that we have missionaries here all the time, and we'll have some more Sunday, and we'll have them come through, because this is a great privilege to get to be the helpers of joy. It's to be the great privilege to get to send them on their way and go further for the Lord's glory. And so I'm thinking about these people, that they're working for the kingdom. I hope that when people account for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, that say, well, John, he's doing what he can. He's maybe said, well, we're not much. None of us are much, but he's doing what he can, working for the kingdom. Not only that, verse number 12 says that he's also praying for the saints. And Epaphras, who's one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Look at how he describes his prayer life. Always fervently for you in prayers. And not only does he tell what he's doing, he tells how he prays or what he prays for. That you may stand perfect, complete in all the will of God. I meet people all the time who say, Pastor, I can't do very much. I can't do much at all. I can't do anything. Maybe they say sometimes. I said, oh, that's not true. I said, put me on your prayer list and pray for me. If you can't get out of the house, but you're here, I said, just pray for me. Some people can't even get out of the bed very often. I said, just pray for me. You've got the ministry of prayer. And so I asked them to do that. But we see here, look at the fervently that he's doing it. He's doing it passionately, supporting them. He's doing it with zeal. I think about that part. How zealous am I in my pursuit of the Lord, in my prayer life, and my talking to him? Verse number 13, I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you. Boy, he loves you. And them that are in these other towns that are close to you there, this guy's got you on his heart. He's passionately supporting the work of the Lord. And then the last one, verse number 14, it just gives these sentiments. These folks are sending their regards. Oh yes, we're saying to them that we're glad. They greet you, Demas and Luke. They're greeting you. If you remember that old spiritual movie or old spiritual TV show, the Andy Griffith Show, the wonderful Goober Says Hey. If you remember that episode, that's basically what they're doing. A little less important than this one, of course. But Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, they greet you. Don't you love how the personality of Scripture doesn't take away from the inspiration of God of Scripture, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so God can do that and mix these personalities in. God's the one that created the Apostle Paul. God's the one that he's the reason all of us live, so you don't have to worry about, well, I don't know about all of the personality coming through. God was using this in a special way, of course, for us so that we could read it and other people through the generations. But there was a group of people in Colossae that were so glad to get this letter from the Apostle Paul. There's this little country church, and they were mad at their pastor, and they said, well, he traveled a little bit, and they said, well, he basically got down to, so why are you upset? He said, well, you always talk about the Apostle Paul. He was always writing letters to the churches. When you go somewhere, you never write us a letter. He said, well, it wasn't that kind of letter, but I guess next time he might have written them a letter just to keep them all happy. But I see the activities of those. You say, why is this important? Here's why it's important. God takes all of these aspects and uses them. This list of people, from a preacher to a prisoner, to somebody who's going to defect and get out of the ministry anyways, to somebody who's going to be a physician, as a gospel writer. All of these people from every walk of life, God says, I'll use him and him and him and him and her and her and her. These ones aren't ladies in this one, but I'll use him and her and her and him and him. And God's using people everywhere. I love the variety of what God does. And then not only whom he uses, but then he's got all different kinds of jobs for all of them to do. And so what that makes me say is that everybody has got a job in God's kingdom. Isn't that a blessing? Nobody can say, well, I guess God couldn't use me. I've got a pass. Well, everybody's got a pass. I guess God couldn't use me. I don't have any money. Well, many people don't have any money. God can't use me. I don't have much skill with these hands. Well, there's a lot of people who don't do that. God can't use me. I didn't finish school. Well, God, a lot of people didn't do that. God, you and I, we limit God by those kind of statements. And my friend, if everything that hath breath, let it praise the Lord. That's the first thing that everybody can do to start serving the Lord, praising his name. And so why did I bring this tonight? I brought it tonight because it always intrigues me and interests me when God just takes this landscape of people, the intellectual, the intelligent, the not so intelligent, the uneducated, and he takes them all. And he says, I've got a spot for you. And then he says, now that I've got you all, I've got a job, and they're all going to be different, but they're all important. I don't know of a greater thought as you're looking into this passage to say that everybody in this room and everybody watching, we've got a job to do for the Lord. You say, how do you know that? Because you're still breathing. If God was done with you, he'd have taken you on. So since we're still here, there's... How does it say on jobs now hiring, help wanted, inquire within? God's still got jobs for all of us to do. He's hiring. Apply within and apply by prayer. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for this time to be in your house. I pray, dear Lord, that this simple message, simple lesson would spark in somebody's heart what it sparked in my heart. And that is, dear Lord, that you are looking for people to use in your vineyard. And I'm so thankful. Lord, that meant I qualified. And that meant that everybody else does. Bless us, I pray, dear Lord. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. Lord, you'll take anybody to use in that harvest. I pray that you would use us individually and as a group in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play? If the Lord speaks to your heart tonight, I invite you to come. Maybe there's something you need to pray about, something going on in your life. Would you step out and come? Maybe you need someone to pray with you. you'd love somebody to labor in prayer with you and join you, then we certainly want to do that. Maybe you're here tonight not sure that you're on your way to heaven. That's not what I spoke about, but you've been wondering, worrying, concerned. Would you step out and let me or somebody just take the Bible and show you how heaven could be your home? As they play just through a verse, and as soon as that's done, Brother Danny is going to come and share some exciting news to us. Thank you for this time to be in your house. Bless us now as we look at one more item, and I pray that you'd be pleased in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able to, sit down for just a moment. If you need to leave for schedule's sake, we understand.